Check, check. I just want to make sure it's using the right source. I didn't have my headphones plugged in.
Oh.
Check, 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 check. me. Can you hear that?
Yeah, and I recorded it.
No, don't do that.
I just automatically start my call recorder.
Stop,
I can't help it.
Don't do that. So I started, A, I drank coffee, and B, I started outlining, and I realized there's like actually quite a bit to talk about. I think we can fill some air here.
And that is our goal after all, anything that just fills air.
Welcome to the Zen Founder Podcast. I'm Rob, the founder.
And I'm Sherry, the clinical psychologist. And we've come together to help founders and their families stay sane while starting up.
Each week, we'll talk about different ways to work well, stay emotionally and physically healthy, and stay connected to the people that you care about.
Well, I think it'd be helpful to sort of do a little maybe update on our lives, things that we're interested in, things that are going on right now. And you, of course, are getting ready to go on your second retreat of this year.
Yeah.
However that is said.
That's right. Yeah. And this one came up kind of all of a sudden because last weekend I was saying, I feel frustrated and I feel like I have a bunch of things to think through. And you're like, why don't you just leave next weekend? Take two and a half days. And go sort some stuff out. We've always said that we wanted to do two retreats a year. And I feel like that's the right pacing for me personally, is to do the big major goal visioning and everything in kind of December, January, and then revisit all of that in June and make sure that the ship is still heading in the right direction and adjust as needed.
And you are almost exactly 6 months after your last retreat. So
that's
you're right.
Right
on schedule.
Yep. Yep. And I feel this every year about 6 months after I start feeling like, hey, am I still on track? Do I still want to do those things? There's a lot to think about. And it actually coincides with kind of a shift that's happening with my role at my company. So we can maybe get into that in a couple minutes. I know we have some other stuff to talk about first.
Yeah. It's a good time to go away.
I agree. So you suggested that we talk about some stuff that we like right now, things that we're into that we've discovered in the last month or two that we think other folks might be interested as well. The funny thing is we kind of talked about it as like technology ideas that we could share or something. And it turns out all four of them are in essence, some way to shop and buy stuff. And I think that's a little embarrassing.
A little bit. But I will say that actually all of the things that I have been into lately are about simplicity and reduction.
That's right.
And are about reusing things that have some more life in them. So it's not as materialistic as it sounds at first approach.
Right. It's actually not buying stuff. It's more like renting stuff, right? We're moving towards this shared model that they've been talking about for years, like with Uber, how if everything works out, we won't need to own a car. Like there will just be Ubers everywhere or the equivalent, and you'll just be able to call a car. And I would love to not own a car, right? I don't want a car. What I want is to get from point A to point B quickly, and that's the end result of that. Same thing with DVDs. Like I stopped buying DVDs years ago when Netflix came out because then I could just get them on demand. And now I've stopped buying movies altogether because I can rent them or get them, download them or whatever. And so I think that sharing economy is kind of a couple of, I think two or three of the things on our list here are a new entrance into that. Why don't you kick us off?
Okay. So one of the things that I am like, frankly, just sort of obsessed with right now is a new sharing service called La Tote. And it is a sharing service for clothes. And I will confess, I'm a little bit of a fashion diva. I definitely like to have some new clothes coming through pretty often. But I don't necessarily like accumulating a lot of things, and especially things like dresses and scarves and handbags. Like, it's fun to have something that you wear a couple times, but I'm not going to wear it 80 million times. So La Tote is perfect for people like me and maybe some of our listeners or their partners, in that it's basically clothing that you rent. You make a wish list and you put things in your closet and you choose things that you like and you're interested in, and they ship it to you, overnight shipping, and you wear it as long as you want it. And when you're done, you can put, this is one of my favorite parts, you can put like your dirty shirt in the bag and send it back, and they will wash it for you and then lend it to somebody else. And of course, if there's something that you totally fall in love with, you can buy. So I've loved it because it basically means I get new clothes every week for about $30 a month, which is way less than I would certainly spend on clothing if I wasn't using the service.
That's cool. And it's spelled L-E-T-O-T-E, if someone wants to look it up. Yeah, and you know what? In our show notes, in case folks want to give you kind of a hat tip, we should put, you do have an affiliate link, right? So that if someone clicks on it and signs up, you get a little bit of credit or something.
Absolutely. And because yeah. I've like just really genuinely loved the service, a number of my friends have done that for me or used the link that I've shared with them. And I've already gotten a couple free months of fashion. So it's awesome.
That is cool.
And there's the clothing is pretty high end and just is in good shape and looks really good. So another thing that we're beginning to use that is similar in the sense of it's a shared economy item is Play, P-L-E-Y. And this has been a huge life changer for our small boys who are really into Legos. And what Play does is similarly, you pay a monthly fee and they will send you Lego sets. So you get one, you build it, you pack it all up, you send it back, and they send you another one. And I've loved this because certainly with the Lego sets, our kids will build them a couple of times, and then some of the pieces get kind of mixed in with the big, big pile of Legos. And then once that happens, the set doesn't really stand alone on its own. And as a mother, I am not going to be the person who's like sorting Legos into sets in the playroom. Not my thing. So Play is a way to get a set that's all intact, play with it for a while, build it, take it apart, send it back and get another one. And it's just been great. The boys still have like their big pile of Legos that they can free play with and make their own creations, which I think is really important. But the Star Wars sets are really popular around our house right now, and they're like super expensive to just buy them if you're collecting them. So this is a way that they can build and return.
So my other recommendation is not about the sharing economy. It's actually just about buying some interesting geeky stuff on the cheap. And it's a mobile app called Geek, where you can go to wish.com/geek. And in essence, it's a lot of stuff that is made overseas and they ship it directly to you in the US. And so the shipping time is 7 to 10 days or whatever. But I've found some really interesting stuff. I got a nice little wooden watch. It's like a bamboo or some other type of wood with a nice leather band. And they have this list price of $80 or whatever, but I think it was like $20 or $19. And they just have promotions going on constantly because the stuff is all limited run. And so it just kind of disappears at a certain point. So it's kind of whatever they have in stock. And I found it to be a bunch of stuff that I frankly don't need, but it is interesting nonetheless. They have like some interesting smartwatches, Bluetooth smartwatches that are, you know, listed $100, $200, $300, and they're able to sell them for $30 and $40. So there must be some type of overstock thing. And they have laser pointers and Bluetooth speakers and watches and chargers and all types of stuff. So I've been keeping my eye on that lately and always some cool stuff coming up on that. It's pretty limited. I mean, if you go to the page, there's 30, 40 items at a time and then they cycle through. And so far, the stuff I purchased has been decent quality. Like it's not cheap crap. It actually seems to hold up and seems to work. And probably my favorite thing at this point, aside from my watch here, is this iPhone zoom lens that kind of clips on the outside of an iPhone and allows you to kind of zoom in and get better range on an iPhone. So there's stuff like that coming up all the time. And I figured I'd mention it on the show.
Great place to get gifts for the geeks in your life.
Yeah, exactly.
The last one that I wanted to mention that I'm really enjoying, of course, is also about clothes. And this is ThredUp. And this is a company that is basically like a high-end thrift store online. So you take used clothing. They only do women's and children's clothing right now. Sorry, guys. But you take used clothing and they'll send you this really large shipping bag. You toss all your used clothing in. They mail it to them. They upload it, take pictures, sort of put it all online and sell it for you. And it's also a great place to find higher end items. Like got some really nice Lululemon, an expensive brand of yoga clothing or workout clothing that are sort of barely used that were not quite thrift store prices, but somewhere in the middle. So again, it's a great way to reuse things without kind of circulating more material into the economy, but still be able to find some cool stuff that's at a reduced price because it's gently used. And they seem to do a really good job of making sure that everything that they're selling is quality and in good shape. And I have just been shipping like all of last year's clothes from the boys up to be sold by them. And it saves me from trying to do consignment or... And it's a little bit more economically viable than just donating everything all the time. So there's some cool ways that I think we are using technology to rethink our relationship with stuff, whether that's sharing stuff or reusing stuff or finding ways to get creative stuff on the cheap.
Very nice.
So let's shift gears maybe from our materialistic introduction to something a little bit more soulful or deep. You, as we mentioned in the intro, are getting ready to go on your second retreat this year. And I guess I just am wondering what your plans are for this retreat.
Yeah, I just started thinking about them this morning. I knew last weekend, like I said, that I was feeling this unrest about what's going on right now. Like I'm not in control of the direction that I'm headed. And there's everything's going up and to the right, meaning it's growing and things are going really well. But I feel like I don't have a grasp on almost what I should be doing right now. So this retreat is much less about personal things because I feel like those are going quite well. And it's more about this shift with my role in my company. Because in essence, I brought someone on to help with marketing and customer success. Her name's Anna, and she's helping with Drip, right? She's helping onboard people and taking a bunch of marketing tasks on. And frankly, she's killing it, right? It's a good feeling to take a huge amount of work. Because in essence, I do multiple jobs, you know, like any founder, you do multiple jobs at your company. And I just kind of handed an entire job to her and many, many jobs. And so suddenly I have this big hole in my schedule each week. And she's taken so much off my plate that I need to evaluate what I should be working on now on a weekly basis. She's been with us about 6 weeks and things are going and we're expanding in terms of marketing efforts. And now I'm like, all right, so I need to be the vision and I need to push things forward and I need to map out what we're doing and I need to be a little bit higher level than I was 2 months ago, where I was still in the trenches doing actual tasks. And so I think that's probably the major focus of what I'll be thinking about over the next 48 to 70 hours.
Are you assessing the direction of Drip more broadly, or you're more specifically looking at what your work life content is, like how you're going to spend your time in a week?
I think it's more about how I'm going to spend my time, because the direction of Drip is going in the right direction. It's growing. Things are going well. Our efforts are working. Just kind of everything's firing on all cylinders right now, and that feels good. But I need to look at what does the next 6 months of Drip look like? Where do I want it to be? What are the goals, the revenue goals? What features are we going to dive into? What are the themes? There's often a bunch of just 200 feature requests in a queue. I need to pull some themes out and map out and think through what are the most valuable ones to build with the limited development time we have. And that relates to the goals of where I want it to go and the direction. And then there are marketing efforts that I'm really excited about and that I've never had the time to even think about or do, like a big push into webinars and running contests and this type of stuff. I've never had the time because I haven't had kind of the manpower to do it, right? Because you can only do so much on your own. And so I'm mapping these things out and I'm pretty excited about them. And so needing to prioritize them and look hard at numbers. And then I need to come back. And this is not all on me, right? I mean, Derek's involved in this too and in the direction stuff. So I need to get him on board with that. But the retreat, I think, is really to get my headspace around where I want to see this company going over the next 6 months, probably. I'd like to say 6 to 12 months, but I think anytime I get out beyond 6 months, it's kind of a crapshoot.
And it sounds like a lot of these relate to your own goals and your own interests at this point, reprioritizing how you want to spend your time. And I think you started out the year thinking that maybe this would be a year that you would revise your book or write a new book. And now that you're 6 months in, is it looking like that's going to happen?
I don't think there's any chance. Okay. And I probably need to come out. And I talked about that as a goal on Startups for the Rest of Us when we listed our goals at the start of the year. And 6 months in, it's just not the right choice. It's not the right choice to do this year. It would take so much time away from something that is working really well. it's like pulling your foot off the accelerator when you're winning the race is how it feels.
So this continues to be the year of drip.
Yeah, it really does.
And so some of the point of the retreat is to flesh out more and more what that's going to look like in the next 6 months, yeah. What your tasks are.
Yeah, my tasks and the direction and the, I think just a high level map. There's no high level map. You know, we're playing kind of week to week right now. And I think it'd be nice to have a plan. I like having a plan that we're able to deviate from as needed. But I think having a nice 3 to 6 month plan is pretty important.
Right. The map is not something you have to stick to rigidly, but at least to have a general direction in your head. Then you know that's when right. You're deviating and why. And are there personal things you're going to think through on this retreat?
None have come to mind. I sat down this morning to say, what am I really going to think through? And the only things that have come out, the ones that I'm most anxious to sort out and the ones that are kind of stirring around are what I've mentioned already. Frankly, is a lot more of the professional side of things. With that said, once I go on a retreat, I typically find that the 60 hours of just being alone and thinking pulls things out, right? That I may not have thought about in the 10 minutes I sat down to outline this. So my guess is things will come up, probably revolving around how this summer I can help the kids get more involved in technology or coding or projects that we can do, whether it's Lego Mindstorm or this 3D printer that I have here. I kind of want to think about ways to structure that so that it's a recurring thing, that every Saturday we do it or every twice a week we are, it's all of our time to do kind of technology stuff because I feel like it's too haphazard and I would like these guys to be more involved in this stuff.
It seems like it's a good time to reorient yourself to what you are thinking about as a parent, especially because you've spent a lot of time with the kids lately as I've been working on some other certification and training and activities and things like that. And so you've had the kids by yourself one weekend a month for the last year. And now that phase is over, you can sort of recalibrate what time with them looks like and family time looks like.
Right. And I did get a win this week, a hat tip from our 8-year-old. We were trying to download SketchUp, which is 3D printing software. It helps you design things to print on a 3D printer. And you were supposed to fill out your occupation. And he put his name in and then he did the drop-down list. And he said, "Does it say entrepreneur here? Does it say entrepreneur in the list?" And it didn't, but that's what he wanted to choose. And I was like, yes.
That's awesome.
Score one for us. Like, I've raised this kid right. It was perfect.
Just you by yourself.
Yeah. I'm joking. The other thing that's interesting with Drip is it's growing fast and we're getting outside offers. We're getting funding offers pretty regularly from reputable people who are not just coming out of the woodwork. I have relationships with them. We have partnerships. And if I were going to take funding, I would consider taking it from people like this. And so makes these decisions difficult. This is something that I want to think through once again. And I think mapping out the next 6 to 12 months helps me figure out, is this even something to consider? I don't like to say no to everything new. That is my inclination in general, right? I like things that are known to me. And if things are working, why would I screw it up? Frankly, if people were not coming out of the woodwork offering, I would not even be considering taking funding because it's not something that I want to do in particular. But I do want to give it some time to settle in and think about what that might look like and what it might mean just to evaluate it. And I think a retreat is the perfect time to do that because it's not something that I want to think about for 10 minutes. Because if I think about it for 10 minutes, my answer is no. But if I think about it for 6 hours, then I can map out why it's no. Right? Make all the reasons why don't I want to do this?
Or why it maybe yes.
Exactly.
You get to challenge your assumptions when you have the time to really, it's kind of have a thought experiment. I mean, you don't have to make a quick decision. You don't have to decide in 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes. You can take as long as you want to think through it hypothetically or philosophically without having to rush to a decision. And I think that's the magic of the open space that's present in a retreat.
That's right. And I like what you said. You use the phrase challenge your assumptions. And that's exactly what I want to do. That's really, I don't even want to think through should I take funding or not. I want to challenge the assumption that I shouldn't take funding because that is my default assumption. And I just want to think through why that is. And frankly, take a bunch of notes in this notebook because this is going to come up again, right? This is not going away. A lot of these questions come up every 90 days, every 6 months. And to have to think through them from scratch every time is pretty time consuming.
So it's almost like you want a roadmap to your approach to funding.
Yep.
And that's a decision tree, I'm sure. There's lots of potential routes and options, but you'd like to have a general direction kind of mapped out. And then with each situation or opportunity that comes up, you can see how it fits into the schema that you've already kind of created for that possibility.
Right.
So it's not a simple yes or no. There's a few if-thens or...
Yeah, that's right. It's interesting to twist the question and say, under what circumstances would I do this, right? Whether it's funding or whether it's any other big question. I've been, for the past like year or two, I've been trying to rephrase, when I have a default no, I try to rephrase the question, under what circumstances would I do that? Because as a developer and a kind of the analytical left brain person, I tend to take a question at face value. Should I do this or not? But that's not really the way the world works, especially if you have any type of negotiating leverage or you have any type of asking power or anything. I mean, it's typically, you know, under what circumstances should you do something?
Default answers are helpful in the day-to-day, but I think the value of a retreat is to mess with the settings, so to speak, and see what life looks like if you reset the defaults and allow yourself as you're talking about the possibility of thinking about things in a very different way to make sure that the defaults that you've been living under are accurate for you.
Yep, exactly.
Cool. Well, I think we should wrap up our conversation here. And then maybe next week when you get back, we'll do a little check-in with how the retreat went.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
Okay, so it's been a couple weeks since you went on your retreat. And I've noticed a lot more activity of you writing in the black journal that you keep. So I know that the ideas are flowing, but we haven't really had a chance to sit down and talk in much detail about how your retreat went and what you took away. Maybe you could start by just kind of an overview of what you did on your retreat and how it went, how it felt. And then you could go into a couple specifics about what you took away from it.
Sure. Yeah, the retreat itself was pretty invigorating for me. I actually started this one off. It was kind of a rough start. Normally, I don't listen to anything when I'm driving out. I don't listen to music or audiobooks or anything. But for some reason, I just couldn't get in the mindset of it. So I put on music for a while. Then I had an audiobook I was trying to finish on a certain topic. And I finished that, which is kind of against my personal retreat approach. Like, I'm supposed to maximize the time that I'm away from you and the kids in order to kind of get the most out of it, but it just wasn't happening for me. So it took me several hours to get into it. The interesting thing is once I arrived, you know, it was about a 3-hour drive, stopped at a coffee shop and got a cup of coffee and sat down to take notes in my notebook, and it just poured out of me. Like, all at once, all of these thoughts of these questions, of even questions like, what are we doing that's not working? What assumptions am I making that aren't working? If I were X, how would I approach this differently? X being someone who's very prominent and very experienced and skilled at marketing and growing things very quickly. And all these questions suddenly tumbled out that I realized had been on my mind for months, but I had not addressed them. From there, these subpoints started coming out of, I don't even know the numbers on this certain approach we were doing. Why don't I have numbers? I have a spreadsheet about growth. I know where we want to go, but it was always in the back of my mind. The spreadsheet didn't quite add up. So I made a note right there. I'm going to fix this thing. Like, even if it takes me 5 hours, I'm going to fix that spreadsheet because it's so critical. So pretty soon I had this massive, it wasn't even a to-do list. It was a to think through list. And that pretty much set up the whole outline of my retreat. And so it was a nice turning point, and suddenly I was just taking pages of notes, essentially, in this black notebook.
It sounds like that open time really forced you to ask yourself a lot of questions. Like, you were trying to make decisions and then realizing that there were some holes in the logic because you didn't have all the information available. And so you had to go back and ask, why don't I have these numbers? Why don't I know better? Why don't I have a better understanding of how this works?
That's right. as soon as I started to dig in. The other thing is when I went on the retreat, I only had maybe two or three questions that I was going to ask. And I knew that I was feeling unsettled about things, but I didn't really know why or what other questions I was going to ask. And in those first moments of sitting down is when they all kind of came out. And they came out faster than I could write. Like I was trying to take notes frantically just to capture everything so that I could then spend the next 48 hours circling back. I knew this was the time to just kind of get the outline of the retreat on paper. And often that's not how it works for me.
Yeah, that's different than what you've said in the past.
Yep, that's different than what I've done in the past, but it just kind of worked out that way and I went with it. I think that's something, you know, if you're going to go on your own retreat, to not necessarily force yourself into a specific way of doing it, because I think that with some flexibility, this one worked out just as well as any of them have in the past.
It sounds like you did a great job of flexing with what you actually needed to do. You had this big goal of like, let's map out the next 6 months of drip, your goals, your direction. But you needed to be a little bit more nuts and bolts than that.
Yep. Yeah.
In order to figure out your goals, you had more specific questions to answer before that.
That's right. Because a lot of times that beginning of year retreat is the what should I do next one, right? It's like you've just sold a business. You've just started a business. You're thinking about writing a book. Like it's should I do things? It's very
it's a blank canvas.
It is. That requires a lot of thought and a lot of soul searching and figuring out what your next direction is. I don't necessarily have that right now because I'm not going to go off and do something else. And I didn't just sell a business. I'm knee deep, waist deep in drip, and I'm all in on this thing, you know? And so there weren't questions of what should I do, but it's like, how should we accomplish where I want to go? And that's what it turned into for me over the course of this thought process.
Were there directional things though that you did decide? Like, did you think through the possibilities of adding new things or changing the direction of your activities? Were there any meta level directional things that you did, or was it more nuts and bolts about drip?
There was a little bit. I asked myself the question, I've kind of replaced myself as a marketer because I've done a lot of nuts and bolts marketing over the past 10 years or whatever. And with the hire of Anna, who's helping with growth and customer success, I moved a lot of that off my plate. And so the question for me is, okay, so now what? What should I be focused on? And so I have a bunch of bullets of things that I want to focus on. And then I looked at each of those and tried to figure out a map of what each of those look like in terms of like product vision, company vision, growth vision, some implementation. You know, there's these other things that have always been on the back burner because I'm trying to run marketing campaigns to grow drip. And these helped. I think having them on paper, I've referred back to them a number of times, and I think it's helping me think about my role better with drip. It's certainly not done. There's not a period at the end of that sentence yet. I'm evolving into it, but at least as I'm kind of walking through the darkness, something's kind of starting to come out up ahead as some illumination where I can say, okay, I think this is what my role is going to become over the next 3 to 6 months. I think, as you said earlier, this was more of a nuts and bolts retreat than I typically have, although I always dip into nuts and bolts naturally. As I start to go very high level and come down, I always want to see, well, what does that really look like? And I kind of run numbers. So I might have, I want to acquire an app and grow it to here, or I want to grow this app to here, or I want to do these things with the kids. And then I try to start figuring out, okay, what does it look like if I want to do that programming once a week with the kids? What day is it? What time is it? Is there something online I can purchase to help me with that? Like I do wind up digging into those things, even though it may not necessarily need to be retreat material. For me, it's a way of not just keeping it as this unknown thing and trying to put a little bit of structure around it, right? And get a little more solid and tactical with it.
So it's definitely not an unusual thing for you to take those grand ideas and then want to think through how to implement them. That's part of the retreat process for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, any new things or activities that we're going to see in the next 6 months in our family life or in your job life?
Yeah, I really want to do more kind of technical things with the kids. We do a lot of games and I really want to dive into programming a little more, but I realize like the summer's almost gone. We're leaving in a couple weeks to go to Europe for a month and I don't know when I'm going to have time to do that. So I haven't figured out exactly how I'm going to execute on that, but that was one thing that I took away from this retreat for sure. And then the other big thing, I mean, there were a few things I took away that are in drip that are fairly specific, but I had a couple big revelations about some stuff that wasn't working that well and a way to shift it really quickly into a way that I think will work a lot better without a ton of work. And so it's that type of insight.
Wow.
Yeah. I know.
How
it almost
that happened?
It almost sounds too good to be true. And it only happened. I mean, I was like 7 hours into thinking about this when it hit me. Why are we doing it that way? It was just this new line of thinking. By this time, it was like, it was probably 5 PM and I was now at the Shell Beach Brew House, you know, and I was having a beer and eating a hamburger. And then it just clicked that I hadn't asked, why are we doing that? How is that converting? And how could we do it better? And it was a whole shift into thinking along in terms of email marketing instead of, you know, this other approach. Those were the insights that I came back with that I was fired up to get started. And so it added a bunch of tasks to the list of kind of adjusting things.
And once again, it sounds like it was just an incredibly productive time, that the kinds of things that you decided on and the directions that you shifted, you may have come to eventually, but you really needed this extended period of time to think through the details. Yeah, sounds like another fantastic and helpful retreat.
Yeah, it was good. Two thumbs up. My only complaint was that I got sick. I came back after a day because I got so sick. Remember? That was a real bummer. That hadn't happened before, but kind of knocked me off my game then. I missed like the next day of work and stuff.
I don't think that was retreat related.
It was not. I have no idea what the story was.
The retreat didn't make you sick, okay?
I know. But that was a bummer because I think I could have used the next day to kind of, I got all this down and then I didn't necessarily reflect a ton on it because I lost the second day of the retreat.
Yeah.
But since then, I've been trying to spend some time to do that and then get it into the flow and the task list so I can implement on the things that I was thinking about.
Cool. I think I'm going to take my next retreat in Maui.
Yeah, that's a little bit further of a drive than I did. You'd have a lot of plane time to get into the headspace.
And then I could just go surfing.
That's right.
In all seriousness, obviously this is something that we've talked about quite a bit. This is our second episode pertaining to the topic of retreats. And both of us have found them to be incredibly personally and professionally useful. And if this is something you'd like to hear more about, definitely email us or tweet at us, and you can hear more about this topic in episode 2 of the Zen Founder podcast, where we start with a brief interview with Ruben Gámez about his experience doing retreats, and then we go into some more specifics about how we set retreats up and the ways that we organize our time and the kinds of questions that we ask.
And that email address is questions@zenfounder.com. And on Twitter, I'm @RobWalling and Sherry is @ZenFounder. Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder.
We'll be back next week with another conversation about how to enjoy a little bit more Zen in your startup life.